Five times he mentions laying down his life. For who? For God? For the sheep. Jesus, the Lamb of God, laid down his life for us.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Please remain standing for the reading of the gospel. The gospel according to John, chapter 10, beginning of verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I've been thinking a lot this week about sheep. not because I'm sleepy and counting them. Because I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I didn't grow up in an agricultural area of the state. I grew up in Gloucester County, which I guess has some agriculture, but the 4-H fair there, we have like horse rides and we have rabbits, and I believe there's some sheep or some pigs. I was in the clowning club of 4-H. I was not in any way associated with any of the agricultural stuff at all. So I was thinking about sheep, and what do I know about sheep? You see sheep here and there. If you drive out to Woodstown, there's a farm on the right-hand side that has a lot of sheep wandering around grazing. And I thought about, what's the life of a sheep like? You get up, you wake up, and the first thing you probably think is, I'm hungry. Where do I eat food? Now, sheep don't have very good eyesight, so they look right in front of them. Oh, there's some grass, so they eat the grass right in front of them. Eventually they may have some biological functions we won't go into in church, but then they go back to sleep, and then they wake up, and they eat. And they do their business, and then they go back to sleep. This is the life of the sheep. It's a very exciting life. I'm sure that, movies have been made about sheep, right? No, not really. We know that sheep are fantastic salesmen of mattresses. We see them on TV all the time, right? But when Jesus says that we are like sheep, and that's what he's talking about here. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And when he says that, the sheep that he's talking about are us. We are the sheep. And that's why I've been thinking a lot this week about what it means to be a sheep. And what it means to have a shepherd. I don't know if there are any wild sheep. I saw some pictures of wild sheep in my research in Utah, of all places, Mount Zion, or in Zion, National Park. There are sheep. They actually look more like goats, by the way. But they're sheep, and they climb straight up these sheer rock faces. And I thought, you know, good for them. I'm not doing that. But it's fascinating to me that there are such a thing as wild sheep. But they're sheep nonetheless. They may not look like our domesticated sheep. They may not act like our domesticated sheep. Can you picture one of our sheep that you see wandering around in the pasture, eating and sleeping and doing its business, climbing up a rock face in Zion National Park? I can't. I can barely even picture them, you know, moving. They mostly just sit there. They're like almost like little clouds of wool on the ground, you know? And sometimes I think we're like that too. Sometimes I think we get too complacent and too into our own routine. And we come to church and we sing particular songs and we worship particular ways and we pray particular ways and we read particular things. And don't let anybody mess with the order of worship, or I'll hear about it at the next SPRC meeting, you know. But I think it must be exciting sometimes to be one of those sheep climbing up the rock faces in Zion. This morning, as I was driving in today, I as I usually do on Sunday, I took a short detour over to the Dunkin' Donuts in Logan, picked up my breakfast, drove on Beckett Road back. And on Beckett Road, there's that little park there. And the parking lot at the park was full. And I thought, what in the world is going on over there at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday? Are they having a revival? You know, looked for a tent, didn't see one, but no. What they were doing was they were playing baseball. And I thought to myself, those are those wild sheep. They're out there playing baseball. They're out there climbing the rock faces, right? I want to be here. This is where I want to be. I don't care to climb the rock faces on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday morning, I want to be here. I want to be here where I can encounter God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and be with other like-minded people, other sheep, as it were, who are part of the flock, who are part of the fold. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You know, all throughout Scripture, there are many times where the image of a shepherd is used. Well, we read it in the 23rd Psalm this morning, which was written by David. David, who was the youngest of seven boys. Feel bad for their mom. The youngest of seven boys, who was the shepherd of the family. They entrusted the sheep to him. And he, when he encountered Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and Saul said to him, you can't fight this man. You're just a child, and he has been a warrior since birth. This is what David said to Saul. He said, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine. That's faith. David was a shepherd. He knew what it meant to take care of the sheep. And Israel, in this context, has often been seen as a flock or as sheep. The shepherd, of course, is God. And so we read in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because you are with me," speaking to God. "Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." Think about what a sheep sees. Sheep don't have long necks. They're not like this. They pretty much see what's right in front of them. And so when the shepherd is standing right by them, all they see is his feet and his rod. The rod, which gathers in the sheep, but it also helps the shepherd to defend the sheep against the wolves, against the lion, against the bear. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me because I know that you are near." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, five times in this passage, Jesus mentions laying down his life. Five times in eight verses. He says, verse 11, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Verse 15, "And I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again." Verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Five times he mentions laying down his life. For who? For God? For the sheep. Jesus, the Lamb of God, laid down his life for us, for the sheep. Now, he goes into this bit about the hired hand. He says, "The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." There's an implication in here. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. The implication is that the shepherd does, in fact, own the sheep. In David's case, it was his father's flock. And so he had a vested interest in protecting those sheep. They were his inheritance. They were his property, every bit as much as they were his father's. Those sheep belonged to his family. And he was going to lay down his life for them. And that's why David, as a shepherd, went out after a lion and after a bear and grabbed them by the jaw and struck them down. It's a brave kid, right? Most of us wouldn't even let our kids out of our backyard, you know. But here he is out there guarding the sheep against lions and bears. "What'd you do today, son?" "I killed a lion." Guarding the sheep. But that's what Jesus does. He says, "The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away." The hired hand here, he's talking about the priesthood. If the nation of Israel are the sheep, the shepherds are the ones who guide them. Okay? In Ezekiel chapter 34, we read about what it is to be a bad shepherd. If Jesus is the good shepherd, the bad shepherd is the one who does not take care of his sheep. Well, by way of contrast, if we look at Ezekiel chapter 34, what does God say about the bad shepherd? He says to Ezekiel, this is God speaking, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strayed, you have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. That's God's condemnation of the shepherds of Israel. So, he says in verse 5, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Brings to mind a verse in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Jesus sees the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So they were scattered, God says, to the shepherds because there was no shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep, God says, my sheep were scattered. You were the shepherds. You were supposed to take care of them. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. Reminds me of the parable that Jesus says, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. My sheep, God says, they are my sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying in the reading today. He says, the hired hand, they're not their sheep. The hired hand doesn't own the sheep like the shepherd does. The hired hand sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and runs away. So here are these people, the shepherds of Israel. They care more for themselves than they do the flock of Israel. The shepherd owns the flock. And God said, they are my sheep. So what is Jesus really saying here? You know, I harp on this a lot. I do. I know. I keep stressing and stressing and stressing that Jesus is not just a man. He's not a great teacher or a prophet or any of those things. He's the second person of the Godhead. He is God the Son, true God of true God, begotten, not made. He's not a created thing. He is God. And so for him to say that he is the shepherd and the shepherd owns the sheep, what he's truly saying is exactly what God said in Ezekiel. They're my sheep. My sheep. The hired hand, he says in verse 13, runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. See, the hired hand, the priesthood, they don't have any vested interest in the safety of the sheep because they're not the owners of the sheep. And the loss of the sheep does not affect them personally. To them, it's just a job. It's not one worth losing his life for. So the hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. Then Jesus returns to what he says in the beginning. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. When I took my SATs, they had these things called like comparisons, right? And to give you a very easy example of one, you would say, like red is to apple as yellow is to blank, banana, right? So red is to apple as yellow is to banana, right? The answer is never yellow is to coal. You know, that's the wrong answer. But this is what he says. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Our relationship with Jesus is as intimate as his relationship with God the Father. And how is his relationship marked with God the Father? Later on in chapter 10 and verse 38, he says, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. That's that kind of connection. I and the Father are one. And if that's the kind of connection that Jesus has with the Father, and he says our relationship is the same, then that's the kind of relationship that we have with Jesus, that Jesus is in us, and we are in him. He says this in chapter 15 of John's Gospel when he says, abide in me and I in you. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You cannot produce any fruit apart from me, which is true. Cut the branches off the vine. See how many grapes it produces. It withers and it dies when it's removed from the vine. So we need to stay connected to the vine. That's why I say that I would much rather be here on a Sunday morning than out gallivanting about doing whatever other people are doing at this time. I need to remain connected to the vine, as do we all. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. All around the world today, all around the world right now, this morning, right now, all around the United States, mostly on the East Coast, I would imagine, but there are churches right now worshiping God just as we are. And even though they're not here, we're not there, we are all one flock because we all have one shepherd. And it doesn't matter if they're Methodist or Baptist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Lutheran or even Catholic. It doesn't matter because we are one flock with one shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. We have one flock. We have a shepherd who cares so much about us, for us, that he laid down his life for us. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. And anybody who tells you that God is an unloving God, that God is an uncaring God, doesn't know Jesus. Can't know Jesus, because Jesus laid down his life for us. That is not someone who doesn't care. That is someone who cares deeply. That is someone who, like David, cares so much because he is the owner of the sheep. We are his flock. In Ezekiel 34, God says, my sheep, my sheep. See, that's why it's okay that we say that God is a jealous God. You understand that there's a difference between jealousy and envy, okay? Envy is when you have something that I want. That's envy in me. But jealousy is when I have something and you're trying to take it from me. God is a jealous God. And the idols of the world would try to take what belongs to him away from him. That is why he is jealous. We are his flock. We are his sheep. But Jesus came to lay down his life for us. And that's how God demonstrates his love to us. In Romans 5:8, we read that God's love is demonstrated in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't care just about the clean, pristine white sheep out gallivanting in the pastures, not even getting their feet dirty, right? Walking on the clean grass. Oh, we don't roll around. No, no, no. No, that would make us dirty. Oh, we're not going to do that. We are so pristine white. We are clean. Jesus came and laid down his life for the dirty sheep, for the ones that are rolling around in the ground, for the ones that are getting their feet all muddy, for the ones that wander off. The ones that wander off, he goes out and gets them. He told us that. Which one among you, that if you had 100 sheep and one of them went astray, you leave the other 99 and you go and find that one. And when you find him, you put it on your shoulders and you go back rejoicing and you invite all your friends and say, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep that was lost. And he says, that's what it's going to be like in heaven. That's what it's like in heaven every time a sinner repents. Rejoice. There's rejoicing in heaven every time a sinner repents. He laid down his life not for the clean ones, but for the dirty ones. For the ones that, the stupid ones that keep wandering off. You know, I mean, because that's what sheep do. They're like, there's some grass over here. Next thing you know, they're off somewhere, away from the flock, vulnerable because they are separated from the herd, outside of the vision of the shepherd. Shepherd goes and gets them back. He goes and he brings that sheep back because he knows that they are more protected in the fold. And that's why he says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. And it should be comforting to us to know that we have a God who loves us so much that he's willing to sacrifice himself for our sakes, for the sakes of people who turned away from him, for the sakes of people in rebellion. He is willing to lay down his life. And I don't know about you, but that wells up in me a spring of love for this God who laid down his life for me when I was turning my back on him. When I was in complete rebellion to God, when I was turned away from him, he was still there. Like that father of the prodigal son who was sitting and saw the son coming a long way off, and he got up and he gathered himself and he ran to his son. His son had been rehearsing that speech that said, Father, I've sinned against you and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but take me on as one of your hired hands. But he didn't do that. He embraced him. He kissed him. He put a robe on him and he put shoes on his feet. He said, my son has returned. He was dead and now he is alive. And we're dead without God. And when we return to God, we are made alive again. And that is what Jesus wants to do for you and for me. For all of us. He wants to bring us all into the fold. Even the people out there playing baseball on a Sunday morning. He says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. Jesus is the shepherd who brings the flock into the fold. And what is our responsibility as sheep? We eat. Our shepherd provides for us. He protects us. And sometimes, though, we might see one of those wild sheep, right? We might see one of those wild sheep out climbing the rocks and having a good old time. Not that we don't have a good time here, right? We do, right? Amen? Anybody? Okay. Look, we do have a good time. I got to tell you, I enjoy life. It's like biting into the juiciest apple ever since I met Jesus Christ. Before, everything was bland, and I just kept looking for that flavor that I once had with God, but I had lost. And they're still out there seeking. That's why they're out there playing baseball. Because they want something. Something meaningful. And they're going to keep looking for it. And like Augustine said, our souls are restless until they find their rest in God. So sometimes we meet those wild sheep. It's time for us to say, come on into the fold. You have no idea how wonderful it is. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't want for anything. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. That's our shepherd. Our shepherd is the good shepherd. And he wants to bring all of his sheep into the fold. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that you have brought us to this place to know you deeply, intimately, that we know you and you know us just as you, Jesus, know you, the Father, and the Father knows you. That's an intimate relationship. We are so grateful that you offer that relationship to us. And let us, oh God, let us not be condescending to the people, to the sheep who have not found their way into the fold. Let us not condemn them either, but rejoice like you do when one of them breaks away from the pack of wild sheep and re-enters the fold of our good shepherd. We rejoice, Lord, every time a sinner turns back to you. Like the angels in heaven, Lord, we rejoice. And so, Lord, fill our hearts with joy, knowing that we are one flock, that we have one shepherd, and that here we are, Lord, this day and every day we dedicate our lives to you because you laid down your life for us. Continue to reach out to those who are far astray. Use even us, Lord, to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And give us the courage to boldly, boldly go into the world. This is the time, Lord. This is the time when we need to be out in the world. Not just being Christians, but doing, proclaiming, witnessing, calling to those who are not of this fold, so that Jesus may bring them in. We lay down our lives for each other, just as you have laid down your life for us. And so, Lord, strengthen us in this hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.